Okay. So, hi everyone and welcome. You are on the Yes, You Can Get Pregnant, Natural Ways to Improve Your Fertility Now and Into Your 40s teleclass. For those of you new to our teleclasses, let me just take just 2 minutes and just tell you a little bit of background about them. So, my name is Heather Arwita. I am a co-founder of Mommy Bites with my business partner, Laura. So how we normally run these, you're all muted right now, whether you're calling in via phone or computer, so you don't have to worry about background noise. We'll take questions we'll take questions at the end from our call-in listeners, and I'll remind you how to chime in, but basically you just press *7 on your phone. But for those of you listening on your computer, you can type in questions. There's a little type-in box. Anytime, and I'll just try to feed them in when it makes sense. So please feel free to do that. A huge thank you to our sponsor of today's teleclass, Lolita. I actually lived in London when my first son was born, and their products are very popular over there, and I love them. They're in the U.S., and a little bit about Lolita. So they were founded in 1921, and they've been making skincare products using only pure natural ingredients ever since. By the way, P.S., they smell amazing. Their Calendula Baby Care is their best-selling natural baby care in Europe, and is available in the U.S. at Whole Foods Market, Bye Bye Babies, a ton of natural health food stores, and also on their website, usa.lolita.com. which I will send to you. Really check them out. They're excellent products, and I'll send you the link to them. I want to give a huge thank you to Amy Raup, our expert today. We've been working with her for years. She's done a lot of writing for us. She's extremely popular and knowledgeable. And not to embarrass Amy, but she is practicing what she preaches. Can I say this, Amy, that you're 40 and pregnant right now?
Yeah, and naturally pregnant.
She is at this moment, exactly. And so, Amy, welcome. I am so excited to have you on, and thank you for taking time out of your day to be on with us.
Well, thank you so much, Heather. I'm so excited to be on. I love talking about this topic, and especially now, you know, having gotten pregnant naturally after only a few months of trying at the age of 40, I really feel even more compelled to spread my message, you know, because I really now see how it works.
Exactly, it does. It brings a whole new perspective. Amy, before we get into the nitty gritty of some of this, do you mind just telling our listeners just one or two sentences about your background?
So by trade, I'm an acupuncturist and herbalist. So that means I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, which is a 4-year master's degree program. Prior to that, I have a Western medicine background in biology and neuroscience. I'm the author of 2 books. The first is Chill Out and Get Healthy. And my most recent book is called Yes, You Can Get Pregnant, Natural Ways to Improve Your Fertility Now and Into Your 40s. And I'm in private practice in both Manhattan, Nyack, which is up in Rockland County, New York, and in the Hamptons in the summer. And my main focus these days is working on women's health and fertility. So it's really become my niche market. And then especially now, obviously getting pregnant at 40, it's really kind of spun out the popularity of both my book and my practice, which is great.
And I will send you the link, everyone, to Amy's books. They're, as I mentioned, she does regular writing for us, and she is a fabulous writer and a wealth of knowledge. So I'll make sure and send you those links. So, Amy, let's get right into it. In your book, Yes, You Can Get Pregnant, the theme really is that you have the power to change your health and improve your fertility. Can you explain what you mean by all this?
Well, my first mission with that statement, which is literally the theme throughout the book, is that to give women back the power in this process, because I think a lot of women feel powerless when it comes to getting pregnant, if they're at all having a hard time, or if they feel they're too old and maybe their doctors have put some pressure on them about their age or their situation, you know, if it's taking longer to conceive. So to realize that you can take back some control, and mainly this is through optimizing your health. And so the way I look at it is, like, my job isn't to help women get pregnant. My job is to teach women how to optimize their health. And when they're in optimal health, the body remembers innately how to get pregnant because it's part of its, you know, natural cycle. It knows how to get pregnant. And so to kind of restore your power in that and then also your faith in your body, you know, those are the two biggest things that I really try to empower women with. And it comes down to, like, you know, a couple different components. It's not just like what you eat. You know, I always look at it as optimal health is from a nutritional perspective, a physical perspective, and a mental emotional perspective. And so when all of those are in sync is when your health really flourishes and your fertility will flourish secondary to that.
And then, so Amy, you also talk in your book about how you recommend women no longer use this word infertility, which I feel like is comes up a lot, especially women in their late 30s, early 40s. So why is that? Why do you recommend we no longer use the word infertility?
It's a horrible word, first of all. You know, it means like you're broken, right? You're unfixable. You are infertile. You're incapable of conception. And that's not the case. You know, even if a woman is fertility challenged at the moment, most all women go on to conceive. I mean, in my practice, I've had only two that I can think of that over 10 years and hundreds of women that haven't gone on to conceive. And one was because she just decided to adopt, you know, and the other, it's just, I think they got started really late in the process, meaning like at 45, and it just wasn't going to work, unfortunately, you know, and that's sad for her. But besides that, it's like you're not broken. You know, you're actually very fixable. And, I dedicate the first chapter in the book to this. And just this, what that word does to you, like I see it as it's very hurtful to that emotional, you know, space in your life. Like, oh, I'm infertile, you know, and basically like, oh, so I can't do what every other woman, you know, what I'm supposed to be able to do, my body just doesn't do. You know, I'm broken. And so I try to encourage women and their partners to use words like, oh, I'm fertility challenged at the moment, or, you know, I'm working on rejuvenating my fertility, you know, shifting the perspective and the conversation. And, you know, rather than putting out there this kind of sense that you're broken and not fixable, you know, and there's another layer to it in Chinese medicine, you know, which is the basis of what I practice. We see that there's a strong emotional correlation to all diseases. And so a disease can be something from a migraine to, you know, fertility issues to, you know, to cancer. So it's really anything that's dysfunctioning in the body. And when that emotional component is present, it really hinders healing. So, and we also see, you know, one step further in the world of fertility, there's this really important connection between the organ of the heart and the organ of the uterus. We say that they actually have like a direct line of communication. And when a woman is dealing with a lot of fear or trauma or sorrow, especially surrounding fertility or if there was miscarriages, you know, anything like that, it severs that tie. And the uterus doesn't then get kind of the love it needs. Not to sound cheesy, but that's the way we look at it, you know, and we really want to, our main goal in treating fertility with Chinese medicine is to make the uterus, which we call the palace, as hospitable as possible. And so hospitality, you know, one of the big parts is the emotional component, that it's like a warm, safe, happy place for the baby. And I think women walking around kind of letting the word infertility identify them really severs that tie, and then not only severs it, but furthermore, like, hurts the heart, you know, and really just affects us on an emotional level. And, you know, our thoughts can become things. And so I just think it's really important to tune into the conversation you're having daily with yourself, how you're presenting yourself to the world, you know, and how often you use that word or Google it or, you know, whatever. So to just really realize that the conversation should change. And I think, you know, on a global level, it should change because it's such a negative word. It doesn't sound nice.
It is a negative word, and it doesn't serve a purpose. It doesn't help move forward.
And you're not broken.
Forward.
Like, you know, every woman, like I'm sure has known a woman that's gone through fertility struggles, but she wound up with that baby, right? You know, even if she decided to adopt, she wound up finding her path to motherhood, you know, and so it's like, you're not infertile. You know, that's untrue. It's an actual, completely untrue statement. You know, you just maybe are having some challenges, just like anything else, just like any other health issue, you know, and you just have to figure your way on how to manage it. So to just, you know, I think it's just really important to bring awareness to that.
And Amy, just to be clear, when we're talking about fertility and switching the conversation and sort of about this topic from a global conversation, are you saying that it's all conversations you have with yourself, but also conversations you have with your doctor, and this is also, I'm sure, like including not traditional medicine too, you know, like improving your fertility through holistic and eating and just getting in a good place, healthy and emotionally. But also, I'm assuming that it's often with conversations with your doctor as well, with some traditional medicine for some women, yes?
Totally. So, and I think that's even it, to just, you know, really tune in and choose your words wisely, you know. So when you talk to your doctor, you know, it's like, you know, on my intake form, right, that I have for new patients, there's a section in the back which I plan to change, but I kind of keep it there for certain reasons, just to gauge where the woman's at. And I have a box that you can check of, like, you know, are you experiencing, like, headaches, and, like, if you put three check marks every day kind of thing, you know. And I have infertility, and women will check it off, like, 4 times. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I have major infertility, you know. And I use it as a way to gauge, like, where are they at emotionally? Like, how committed are they to this identity? And I don't mean any, you know, how should I say this? Like, I'm extremely compassionate to this process, and it sucks when you're in it, you know. And it's so hard to get out of it emotionally when you're so in it, you know. But to really start to tune into, like, what is the story you're telling yourself? You know, it's like, are you really walking around and saying to the world, like, I'm infertile, I'm broken, you know, and how does that affect you? I think it really leads into every aspect of your life. You start to think you're broken everywhere, you know, and my biggest thing is I want to restore, like, the faith and hope that you should have in your body, because it's an amazing piece of machinery, you know, and it does things every day that you don't even think about, and it just does it all on its own. And this should be one of those things. Like, conceiving should be one of those things, and I think we're almost thinking too much about it, you know, and not to say it's all in our head, because it's definitely not. There's so many factors. But to, you know, just take some responsibility and tune into the conversations you're having with yourself and with others, and including your doctors, you know, and also you stand up to your doctors. There's a lot of misinformation out there, you know, which we'll go over a little bit here today. But, you know, you're not as, you know, screwed as you think you are when it comes to getting pregnant. Like, you know, it's like,
yeah,
I see it all the time. Women will come in and they're a mess because they've read something online or their doctor said it to them. And it's like, it's just really sad, the information that's flowing out there. And listen, there are also, you know, like a lot of the movie stars that are getting pregnant in their late 40s and not talking about the fact that they did donor eggs. I don't agree with that either. You know, I think they should be upfront about that too. But
talk about your journey. Be realistic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely. Well, that's it. Absolutely.
We're
yeah.
not sharing yeah. enough.
Be
you know?
Honest.
Even like,
be real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just, you know, I just, that's my biggest thing is, like, it's just an ugly word. I don't think we should use it, you know. And I really sincerely, you know, 10 years of clinical practice and hundreds of pregnancies, no woman is broken, you know, and you are fixable. You are totally fixable. So to believe in that, I think, is really
believe
important.
Believe it, yeah. So that leads to my next question. So, you know, you've been doing this for 10 years. In your 10 years of professional and clinical experience, what do you see as the main cause of fertility challenges?
Well, I will say that it's definitely not age, and I'll get into some statistics in a little bit, but most women believe age is the biggest issue. And I just wrote another article on it. There's no science to really support that. But, you know, and I can speak to it personally now, having gotten pregnant with ease at 40, that, you know, it's more about the, you know, the quality of our life and how we choose to live it. And that really seems to impact our aging process, you know. So we can kind of lump this whole aging theory into, really there's a big difference between what your chronological age is, meaning the number, you know, on the calendar, like you're 40 this year, versus what your physiological age is. So what are the age of your actual cells? And what's influencing our aging process and our health overall is really lifestyle factors. So the biggest things that I see are pesticides in our foods, you know, the quality of our food, the pesticides and hormonal disruptors that are in our skincare and beauty products. You know, I have a whole chapter dedicated in the book to just that. Like, what do you need to avoid? Because there is stuff everywhere, even in the most natural, you know, quote unquote, a product. There's a lot of endocrine disruptors out there. And from a young age, you know, as young girls, right, because we kind of, I mean, I came into the world in the 70s, and so that was, plastics were just getting really popular, and, you know, all these things, all these environmental toxins that we've been exposed to for a very long time, and there's tons of science to back it up that they're affecting our ability to procreate, which the good side to that is you can actually really clean up your system in like a 3 to 6 month period and get rid of all those toxins, both in your food and in your products, and rejuvenate your cells, you know, and so then you can kind of restore youth, if you will. It's the best way to describe it. So to me, it's like, and then there's this prevalence of autoimmune diseases, like most commonly is like Hashimoto's or autoimmune thyroiditis, which seems there's a really strong correlation between autoimmune diseases and fertility challenges, and mainly because the body, it's just an interesting process that pregnancy is the only, you know, quote-unquote parasitic infection that our body won't try to kill off. And in an autoimmune patient, their immune system is so on fire, it kind of attacks anything that seems foreign, and it will attack an embryo, so you can miscarry, it will attack sperm, so maybe you never get pregnant, it could attack your ovaries, and then you can't produce good, healthy eggs. So, you know, a huge part of what my whole protocol in my book is to really quell that autoimmune response. So a lot of women know that they have an autoimmune disease. Those women, you know, automatically, you know, I'm very strict with certain dietary recommendations and lifestyle recommendations. And then there's some who aren't aware of it. If you've had more than one miscarriage, I highly recommend that you get tested for autoimmune diseases, because chances are it's that, or clotting factors, which is also an autoimmune disease. So those are some things, you know, and in the literature, the most common cause of fertility issues is ovulation disorders, which again can come from, you know, just basic hormonal imbalance. You're either underweight too, or you're overweight. Those are other causes of it. And, you know, to look into that and to get your body to ovulate more regularly, which, you know, there's many ways you could go about that. Acupuncture is a great way to do it. But, again, really kind of getting rid of the toxic crap in your food and bath and beauty products will get rid of a lot of the extra hormones that you're introducing into your body that's disrupting your entire reproductive system. So in my opinion, it's all environmental, you know, and then there's stress, which of course I think impacts it on every level. And it's also an environmental disease, you know, but you know, with stress, I think it's like what came first, the chicken or the egg. And so for you to just figure out ways to manage your stress better. You know, so there's many things at play, but I definitely think it's more environmental than it's anything else.
And Amy, I want to circle back to the women's age in a minute, but I just want to let our listeners know that I will open this up. I know we're covering a lot of meaty stuff. We'll open this up to questions at the end for everyone. And if you are joining us via your computer, you can type in a question at any time, and I will make sure Amy gets those as well. So, Amy, let's circle back to age. It comes up a lot, right? I mean, you know, the older a woman is, the harder it is to get pregnant. Can you talk a little bit about that and your experience with that?
Yeah, I mean, most every woman that comes into my practice or reads my book and emails me is worried about her age, whether she's 29 or 39 or 49. You know, it's really funny. Every woman is worried about her age, and that's because the general misinformation that's out there is, you know, what doctors really start to, you know, and I don't hate doctors by any means. There's amazing doctors out there and really well-informed ones, and then there's unfortunately a subset that are not as informed, and they like to induce fear in women about age and fertility. But they'll tell you that only 1 in 3 women after the age of 35 will get pregnant naturally after 1 year of trying to conceive, or 12 menstrual cycles is really what we should look at, not the whole year thing, because some women menstruate every 40 days, you know, so they only get 10 attempts in a year or something. But So that's basically the translation is they are saying, so 66% of women over the age of 35 basically never get pregnant. Or, I'm sorry, get pregnant. 33% don't. And what's interesting is there's new science out that, and granted these are on the smaller side, these studies, but two, you know, studies that I quote often and are in my book, one came out in 2004 in Obstetrics and Gynecology, so a very renowned, you know, medical journal. They found that sex at least twice a week, 82% of women 35 to 39 conceived within a year, compared to 86% of 27 to 34-year-old women. So that's about 18 percentage points, 20 percentage points higher than that 66% that doctors are quoting, you know, for the 35 to 39-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And another study in 2013 in another renowned journal, Fertility and Sterility, found that 78% of 35 to 40-year-old women who were having sex at their fertile time got pregnant within a year, compared to 84% of 20 to 34-year-olds. So, again, it was like a 6 percentage point difference. It's not like this, you know, I call it the fertile cliff that everybody talks about, like, oh, over the age of 35, you're basically, like, good luck, you're not going to get pregnant. And it's really untrue. It just, it does steadily decline. That's not false, you know, but it does.
Right, you're not disputing that. Right.
Yeah, I'm not disputing the steadily decline. That just happens, and that's just part of the aging process. And it just makes sense, you know. But one thing I will always say to women, too, say if they're FSH, which is, you know, a hormone that doctors test to check ovarian reserve, or there's another one called AMH that they also use for ovarian reserve. If FSH is high, doctors are worried about your ovarian reserve. If AMH is low, they're worried. But I always say to women, it's like you have to remember we're not talking about you only having, like, 4 eggs left. We're talking about still a couple thousand that are left, you know. Even if it's only, you know, 1,000, but you still have quite a few left. So why don't we just focus on the quality of those eggs and not so much the quantity? You know, we're getting really caught on these numbers. And I see it all the time, you know, it's the same thing as, like, women identifying themselves as infertile. They'll identify themselves by their FSH or their AMH, you know, these numbers that, you know, I'm beginning, honestly, in my practice, to not even pay attention to. You know, my gynecologist refused to test me because she said, it doesn't matter. Just go home and have sex. And I think that's a big part of it, too, is, you know, I'm getting a little off track of the age thing, but we don't have enough sex, especially New York City women. They don't have enough sex, for sure. And they try to jam it all in when they're ovulating, which makes it kind of not so sexy and not so fun and a little stressful. And, you know, it's a very interesting cycle. I'm just starting to realize, like, I just want you to start having regular sex, like, 2 to 3 times a week and not pay attention to ovulation. And, you know, let's see what happens. I mean, the one study showed it's, like, sex twice a week, at least twice a week. 82% of women 35 to 39 got pregnant in a year. I mean, that's only 4 percentage points lower than a 27 to 34-year-old. And that same study actually showed, too, that women in their mid-30s were more fertile than women in their mid-20s. It was like a side set to this study, which was really interesting. So fertility actually increased for some of these women as they got a little older, which I think is just more sex. But
it's So let's circle back then to improving the quality of the egg. Since you know you've talked about some of these stats, what can women do, and is there science to back it up?
Yes, there is a lot of science, and I spend a lot of time on it and everywhere I write about. There's a whole field of science called epigenetics, which, you know, it's been around now probably like 10 or 11 years, maybe 12 years. And let me see if I can find in my book the true definition of it. But basically, it's the study of how lifestyle factors influence our genes. And so, you know, quick biology lesson, but, like, you know, our genes are basically, you know, our genetics that were passed on to us from our parents. And for the last, you know, however many decades, doctors have believed that they were very set in stone. Like, what you were born with is what you get, you know. So you'll hear things like, oh, well, my mom had high cholesterol, so I'm going to get it. Or, and your dad had diabetes, so of course I'm going to get it, you know, this type of thing. Or cancer, or or miscarriages, right? Some women, you know, and the truth is now that they know that only 2% of diseases are actually genetically heritable, meaning that you can actually directly get it from your parents. So it's like some things like Fragile X or like MS, you know, these real kind of strong genetic diseases. But things like cholesterol and miscarriage and diabetes are not heritable at all. What they're finding is it's actually like, okay, you might be born with the predisposition to, say, diabetes or heart disease, but depending on how you live your life, that gene either switches on or stays turned off. So if you, say, had, you know, say a very stressful lifestyle and an unhealthy diet and you didn't sleep enough, you'd probably get diabetes like Dad got it, you know, or heart disease or something like that. But if you were, like, you know, meditating and sleeping 7-8 hours and eating a really, like, clean, nutrient-dense diet free of processed foods, you'd probably stave it off, you know. So it's just very interesting that they're seeing now, and the biggest research in epigenetics is these really environmental toxins, like I was talking about before, like pesticides in our food, plastics, chemicals in our products, and stress. Those are the four big components. So they then affect our epigenetics, which then can cause us to age before our time. So that's that whole talk again about what I was saying, chronological versus physiological age, you know. And then that can cause the diseases and the reproductive disorders. So there's this, you know, cascade of events that happens that causes you to basically prematurely age. And, you know, then we'll see that, like, with women, like, maybe poor egg quality or low ovarian reserve, you know, things like that, that you're actually, your lifestyle choices are affecting it the most. And what you, and it's reversible. That's the amazing part. You can actually then kind of shift your lifestyle. And, you know, when it comes to, like, your ovaries, say, your follicles that you develop every month, right, that then you ovulate and there's an egg inside that can hopefully get fertilized and make a baby. The whole process of that follicle growing and developing in your body is about 100 days. They've been in your body since you were born, right, or since, you know, conception, really, since you were in utero. But they're only influenced by the environment in your body for about 100 days. And so if you shift, you know, those lifestyle factors, you can positively influence the quality of that egg. And same with sperm, too. Sperm is about, like, 72 to 90 days. So guys get a
Amy,
little shorter time frame.
It's so funny. You gotta ask. Like, let's get the dads in here. I mean, it's like, what can they do? So wait, before I open it up to that, just two things I see. We still have people joining us throughout this amazing call. So I want to welcome people just joining us. We're going to open it up in a few minutes to questions, both via the phone, and you can type in questions throughout. We're in a minute, we're going to talk about what partners have to do with all this. I also want to quickly thank our sponsor again, Walita. I will send you a link. They have awesome baby care products. Their Calendula baby care is actually the best-selling natural baby care in Europe, and it's available here in the U.S. at Whole Foods, Bye Bye Baby, natural health food stores, and their website. So I'll send you all that. So huge thank you to them. They helped come up with many awesome topics that we're doing for free for all of you that have to do with holistic living. So huge thank you to them. So, okay, let's bring it back to the partners, Amy. What can women and men do to improve their fertility and egg and sperm quality?
Well, you know, and I think it just goes the same. Like, and especially, like, if you're living with your partner, you just kind of overhaul, you know, food, right? So we want to go as organic as possible. We want to avoid processed foods as much as possible. Anything with a chemically looking ingredient. You know, we want to eat animal products for sure, but we want to make sure they're, like, grass-fed or free-range. You know, just basically avoiding any of those toxic chemical exposures, you know, however we can. And then the same thing with, like, bath and body care. We need to overhaul all of that. On my site and in my book, the site for the book is yesicangetpregnant.com, and there's a bunch of, like, do-it-yourself tips. Like, there's downloadable sheets, I think it's like, or it's either DIY, I should know this, or DYK. You'll see it on the site, and you can click on that, and it takes you to a whole different page, and you can literally download, like, what should I buy at the store? What's the best, like, soap and shampoo and beauty products? And also, like, there's a whole healthy daddy diet. You know, men need a little more, like, selenium and vitamin E in their diet to really help their sperm, whereas women need a lot of fat in their diet to really help their egg quality. So, you know, it's really
I'll send
like
everyone
that.
This to Annie. I'll send all what these links. I'll send everyone in my follow-up email to everyone with this tapes call. I will send all these links that will just be in everybody's inbox. That sounds extremely helpful.
Yeah, it is. And it's like I tried to make it as helpful as possible, you know, and not to be overly salesy of my book because that's really not my, you know, what's that, my message. But the book has, like, everything you would need, you know, and then the sheets are really just meant to kind of break it down and be more helpful.
Yeah, the supplements.
Like shopping lists, you know, things like that. But so it's, you know, I think you make that shift and then also together you try to figure out how are we managing our stress, you know, whether that's separate or together. And, you know, things like meditation obviously are all the rage right now, and there's a reason, because it works, you know, and it really helps fight the aging process. There's a bunch of epigenetic studies right now on how just daily meditation, 5 minutes twice a day or even just 5 minutes a day, helps basically what is the word? So when our genes start to kind of age and show disease, they get methylated, which is just a scientific term, but it shows how they demethylate when you meditate regularly. So it's basically showing, like, it's clear cut of, like, okay, if you meditate 5 minutes a day, you actually reverse your aging process and your genes are healthier, you know. So, I mean, just little simple things like that, you know, exercise, healthy communication, like having sex maybe just regularly instead of, like, honey, I'm ovulating sex. You know, that puts a lot of pressure on your partner. Most men, no matter how virile they are, they did not perform well under that, you know, that premise at all. And I hear it all the time in the clinic. No woman would outwardly admit it, probably in a forum like this, that their husband just basically can't get it up when you turn around and tell him you're ovulating. But it happens all the time, and it's totally normal because you put pressure on him. So another thing falls on us to just kind of keep it sexy all month long and trick them.
another thing for us. And
wear some lingerie. Yeah.
Oh, Lord, Amy. All right. what about vitamins?
Okay. And I should just quickly go over, like, my big, I have, like, 6 no's what to eat and 6 and 5 yeses. So
oh,
I'll
good,
just
yes.
quickly
oh, good. I'm sorry.
Say
yes,
those,
let's do that.
And
yes.
then I'll go into the supplements because I was
okay.
kind of brushing over it. So in the book, I have no gluten, and I would like to put an asterisk next to that. I'm not, like, following the trend here, but there is a lot of research that shows that gluten, because it's really just, we should just say wheat in the United States, is genetically modified and has been for the last 30 years now. And it gets a shitload of pesticides sprayed on it. So, and then after it's sprayed twice with Roundup, which is, like, the worst pesticide that exists, it sits in these silos until it's to be used, and it grows mold, which are called enterotoxins. And so when you eat it, your body will host an immune reaction to it, basically like an allergic reaction. And that's the difference between, like full-blown celiac is, like, a full-blown, like, they can go to anaphylaxis shock. But some people just have a gluten intolerance where they get maybe constipated or gassy or something like that. You know, if you're experiencing digestive issues and trying to get pregnant, I strongly encourage you to cut out gluten and see how you feel. And as an aside, if you have an autoimmune disease that's diagnosed, 100% you cannot eat gluten. There's direct correlation, especially with thyroid disease, between fertility challenges and gluten. So, you know, my general message is, like, if you're going to eat wheat, or if you digest it okay, just switch them to organic, you know, because the organic won't get the pesticides, and stone ground organic whole wheat is best. But if you do have digestive issues and or an autoimmune disease, I really encourage you to cut it out. Also, you know, encapsulates no genetically modified foods, no soy. Soy is the most processed food product that exists in the United States, unless it's, fermented is still okay, you know, in moderation, so like tempeh or miso, but unless it's sprouted, tofu, or, you know, you're making your own soy milk, then go ahead. And you're making it the traditional way, like the way the Japanese made it, you know, 100 years ago, then by all means, you know, continue to eat it. But if you're buying products that have soy in them and you want to watch the gluten-free products because some of them put soy flour, you really have to be gluten-free and soy-free. No artificial sweeteners, no pesticides. And, you know, the pesticides, again, they're just known endocrine disruptors, so they really screw up your hormones. So you just, there's a list, too, in the book, and the website Environmental Working Group, EWG.org, they have what's called a Dirty Dozen list. So you can look on there and see, like, the foods that are highest in pesticide loads, and those are the ones you need to buy organic. And then there's a list that, like, are safe to buy because they really don't get sprayed. You just don't get a lot of bugs. So you can, you know, the way you can budget it is with that. And then when it comes to what you really need to eat is animal protein, fat, and fruits and veggies. And if you're a vegetarian and you've been struggling to conceive, I can't encourage you more than to at least add in some fish and eggs because your body needs the fat and it needs the B vitamins. And, you know, I was a vegetarian myself for like 6 years, and I know the healthiest of vegetarians just don't get enough nutrients, and especially to sustain life. So I'm all about ethics, and, you know, that's why I think grass-fed animal products and pasture-raised, at least, are treated humanely, and they're not, you know, fed other dead animals. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely humane farmers out there. And if you can get yourself to do it, I couldn't encourage you more to eat some fat, because I mean animal protein, because your body really needs it to regulate its hormone levels. And we're not talking about a lot, a couple ounces a week, you know, would be fine, but you need a little bit in there. Go ahead.
And well, I can send some of these links to you. Amy's written a lot about soy. I actually changed a lot of my eating habits based on what Amy,
well,
what
I remember
Amy,
that.
Amy said. Yeah, I did. I really did, Amy. So, again,
and you'll see it with kids, too.
Oh, please.
If your baby has, like, food allergies, like soy, take it out. And I guarantee if they have eczema, something like that, just start reading labels. Soy is probably causing it.
Yeah.
It's such a huge allergen. But
yes, and this is another where, again, you can, you know, we have a lot of pediatricians that write for us regularly, so I'm, you know, certainly not suggesting people go rogue, but talk to your doctors and
yes,
they
totally.
Also suggest, you know, changes like this. But, you know, obviously, when making any changes during pregnancy or with newborns, Amy and I are both components of bringing your doctors into the conversation.
Totally.
But I think that this is a way to reframe questions to ask and to bring up.
Yeah,
right,
and just to get educated. I think that's important, just be empowered and educated and ask questions, you know. And most doctors, especially, yeah, pregnancy or newborns, you know, they'll encourage some kind of elimination diet. You know, if you're having a skin, say skin rash, that's the most common thing. It's not responding to, you know, the current treatment, you know. So, but, yeah, just educate yourself. I think that's the biggest thing.
And so, Amy, I want to just circle back to vitamins. The vitamins
yes.
Mom should have, and then I have some questions that have been emailed in.
Okay.
So I'd like
Perfect.
To get to those, and then we can open
okay.
up the phone lines as well. So vitamins for,
yes.
for men and women.
So I'm a big fan of, you know, everybody loves fish oil, especially it's great for balancing hormones. Pre-pregnancy, it's also really important during pregnancy for baby's brain development. My favorite source of a fish oil is cod liver oil, and mainly because it has vitamin A and D naturally occurring in it, both of which are fat-soluble and really good for balancing our hormone levels. And then some kind of superfood. So my favorite is spirulina, which is one of the green superfoods. It's basically blue-green algae. I call it nature's multivitamin. It's loaded with, like, everything you could think of. And especially for any vegetarians out there, like, load up on this stuff because this is what you really need. It has essential fatty acids in it, has all your B vitamins, you know, has vitamin C, D, and E. You know, it's got some really, really good stuff in there. And I call it, you know, it's like basically anti-aging your eggs and your sperm. Probiotics, which are basically healthy bacteria introduced into your system. They really help reduce, like, the acidity or the pH in your body, which could be causing inflammation and, you know, and basically, like, affecting your reproductive capability. So I like a probiotic. It also helps you absorb all the nutrients from your food. So I think that's really important. If you're eating a healthy diet, you really want to get the most bang for your buck, if you will. And then, you know, there's a couple other asides. Like, I'm a big fan of bone broth, doing homemade chicken soup or fish soup or beef stock, however you do it. But some people just can't make that or get it into their life. So you could take collagen as a supplement. Great Lakes Gelatin makes a really good one. And there's another one by Vital Proteins, which is just, again, like a real nutrient-dense supplement that you can add to your diet. It's like every amino acid under the sun, a nice amount of protein, some good healthy fats, and that will really help kind of amp up fertility. And then I don't always recommend prenatals, but most women want to be on a prenatal. You know, I myself don't take a prenatal in pregnancy. I just take kind of the above. But Megafoods makes an amazing one, or Garden of Life. They're both whole food-based and so very easy to absorb and offer your body a ton of folate, which is really important, which becomes folic acid in the body. So really try to get a good source of that into. I'm a big fan of organ meats for that, so like liver is a great source of folate, or spinach or kale. But if you've had a history of miscarriages, you really want to amp up on the folate. So probably get on a prenatal as well. You know, Megafoods are a Garden of Life. But that's kind of it.
Thank you. I think that's a good. Our goal with this, Amy, as all everything we do together, is to give people some actionable items they can start doing today. So I think that's really helpful. Everything you just went over. I want to open it up to questions, so you can type in a question. And you can also chime in on the phone with a question by pressing *7. And that is how you unmute yourself. That's like raising your hand. So you can go ahead and do that. And as people are thinking about questions they may want to chime in with on the phone, let me start taking some of these questions that have been typed in. So one of the questions we have is, oh, this is such a good one. This is a good one. So can dietary changes help with varicose veins? Or can those only be corrected with surgery? Let me tell you, Amy, I know you have your first one, but wait. You have that baby.
I know.
And all these varicose veins, man, and some of them don't go away.
I think it could help, because it's like, you know, if you want to think about the dietary changes will help reduce your toxic load.
And swelling, probably.
And swelling, exactly. Your body could be more efficient in getting blood flow back up into the heart. But more so, I would say, too, you should do, like, legs up the wall, dry brushing. Those things seem to help as well. The collagen or the gelatin that's in the bone broth that I really encourage everyone to make, and really is great for postpartum care and helping your milk come in and breast milk production and all of that. The collagen and gelatin really help with maintaining the integrity of your blood vessels so that you're less likely to get the varicosities. But some of that is just, you know, if some of it's just, I wouldn't say genetic, but it's kind of like lifestyle affected. But I think there are ways you can manage it better. And then I've seen people get the surgeries and then they come back or they show up in other areas. So I don't know how effective surgery is.
Just to recap, it's making a lot of the dietary changes that you just suggested for increasing fertility. So sticking with a lot of those dietary changes. I can send people the recipe. I know it's on our site, the broth.
I'm eating some now, actually. I'm eating some right now. But I am, because I came in from a meeting and I was a little hungry, so I'm actually like sipping bone broth while we're talking.
And for those of you that came on a little bit late, so Amy is 40 and she is 38 weeks pregnant. So she practices what she preaches, for sure.
For sure.
So I want to open it up again. Any questions that people want to chime in with on the phone, you press *7. That's how you unmute yourself. And you can also type in questions. And let me see if we have any more questions that have come in. Okay. So this is actually, can I just sidebar? I love our new platform, because sometimes I think with really personal stuff like this, it's hard to kind of, you know, chime in with your voice, but people are typing in really great questions. So this woman just wrote in. She said she got pregnant 2 times on her first tries in her 30s, but she's been trying for over a year. She's 42 right now and can't get pregnant.
is this a coincidence? Is it age? You know, what she wants to know what's going on. And, you know, possibly she's made dietary changes maybe in her 40s that have affected it. I'm not sure. But so what do you think?
Well, two things to think about. So I always check with, okay, so your last pregnancy, what was your weight? And you want to get back to that weight. So some women have are underweight or overweight. But the last time you were pregnant, we know is a fertile weight for you. So that's something to really focus on. And then, yeah, what kind of lifestyle changes? Like perhaps now with two kids, you don't sleep nearly as much, or you're more stressed, or you don't take enough time for yourself. You know, you're not eating every 2 hours or 3 hours, like keeping your blood sugar even. And also, like, your menstrual cycle, you know, how has it changed? Are you ovulating every month? Are you tracking that? That's really important. How often are you having sex? You know, and then, again, too, going back to, like, there is a natural decline. One of the studies that I quoted earlier about age and fertility was, like, if those same women that didn't get pregnant that first year, if they continue to try for the second year, it was still something like 60% of them in the, you know, the close to 40 age category got pregnant. So I would still encourage you to continue to try. You know, and,
Amy,
and also
she's typed in a follow-up. So she's saying that she's her major lifestyle changes, she's actually in her 40s gotten very healthy and implemented a lot of the things that you talked about, clean eating, organic, meditation. But the main dietary change is, although she continues to eat fish, she's cut out all meat. What's your take on that?
Yeah, I would go back to some animal products, even just eggs, you know, and butter. But you might be like, what's the word? Like, not have enough fat. So whether your fat composition is low or not, I don't really care about. But also, if you notice that your menstrual cycle is lighter than it used to be, you definitely need more, shall I say, blood engendering foods, and that's animal product. So whatever you can get your head around, and just make sure it's grass-fed or pastured, but I would strongly encourage, you know, if you could do red meat once a week, that would be awesome, just a couple ounces, like the size of your palm. I also, in my book, for women who are, like, squeamish about eating red meat but kind of open to it, I recommend them taking in pill form liver. It's actual, like, freeze-dried, desiccated liver from grass-fed New Zealand lamb, or cattle, excuse me, and it really will help kind of, it gives you some saturated fat, it gives you all those B vitamins that you need, and can really help with egg quality and just giving you a little more fat and B vitamins that your body might need right now. So you could think about liver. Dr. Ron's is the website you could order it from, or just, you know, email me or Heather and we'll get it to you, but get the information. But it could be that. That could be the big difference. And if your weight is less, so I want you to put on a couple pounds. Some women are underweight. Like, and sometimes it's 2 or 3 pounds, and it makes the biggest difference in the world.
Huh. Like, that's interesting. So, yeah,
I was 5 pounds heavier when I got pregnant, and I'm kind of and I was in Paris and probably eating, like, too much pâté. But I'm convinced that, like, that probably played a role in the ease of my conception, because I was, like, 5 pounds heavier than I normally ever am. And I'm like, I don't know. I think the fat helps us a little bit. So just keep that in mind.
Healthy fats. So, guys,
yeah,
we have
exactly.
time for one more question, whether it's a type-in question or if anyone on our phone line wants to chime in, you just press *7, just how you unmute yourself. And let me just go back to that question, make sure I've gotten them all. Do they keep coming in? Oh, okay. This is going to be our last question, everyone. So this mom says she's been pregnant once. And by the way, the other two moms typed in thank you. They said tell her to say thank you. So thank you for answering those, Amy. Okay, so this mom says she's been pregnant once. The first was unintended, and she was 20 at the time. She's now 33, and her husband, she says, my husband and I have been married for 11 years. My cycle stopped a few months after we were married, but I was diagnosed with PCOS. It's been an uphill battle with my weight, and I never had weight issues before. She lost 60 pounds. Wow, congratulations.
Jesus,
holy moly.
Awesome.
I lost 60 pounds while my husband was deployed, and the weight slowly came back on when my doctor switched the antidepressants. So that happens, that we have a lot of women on antidepressants, and that can really affect weight gain, weight loss. So I feel you. I feel this particular caller. I'm trying to figure out what are the best chances I can make since my body has changed over time and I know my needs are maybe much different. So true. My cycles have stopped again. My cycles have stopped again. My last one was May. I did take an OPK and was ovulating, but my husband has varicose veins. Am I saying this correct? I think so.
Varicose,
and his doctor said it would be harder to conceive.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of docs are like really jumping on the varicose thing, saying that it can affect sperm quality. I would have a sperm quality tested first before you just go and do the varicose test. I mean, the surgery, because it is a surgery and it can be painful and traumatizing to men. So that's one thing. Two, with PCOS, I mean, the biggest thing is it's a blood sugar disorder. So you really have to crack down on food and eating enough. So you want to eat within the first, 20 to 30 minutes of waking. And you need to have protein with every single meal. Like, every 2 to 3 hours, you're eating something with some kind of protein, whether it's animal protein or nuts, beans, whatever it is, you need protein. And I would really cut back on grains, all grains. Quinoa is not a grain, but it tastes like a grain, so you could still have that, and it's actually a seed. But what I noticed with my girls is the grains seem to throw blood sugar way off. And so when they go almost grain-free, they, A, lose the weight, which is great, but you'll see ovulation starts happening more regularly. So you sound like more classic PCOS, which is like the weight gain, the acne, the hormonal changes, things like that. So that's the biggest thing I would really drive home, and you really got to go pesticide-free on your foods and hormone-free on your foods, because they really affect PCOS. You know, you're extremely sensitive to all of that. So that's what I would do. I would probably focus on shifting your diet, and the weight will come off and ovulation will happen more regularly. Get his sperm tested first and see. Your urologist can do that. Your general practitioner can do that or order the test. And then if he does have low sperm count because of the varicose deal, then you have him get that fixed. It's, you know, and then you could probably, you have to wait a month, but then you could start trying again the next month. But either way, you want your polycystic under control before you get pregnant, because then you could have gestational diabetes and need to give yourself insulin, and it's a whole cascade of, you know, stress, and not so good for you or the baby. But that's where I would start. And,
I'll send links. I know, Amy, that, you know, we've gone over a lot of dietary suggestions, changes. I will send links right to everybody's inbox from your website, Amy, and from some of the stuff that you've written for Mommy Bites, so that people just have that right at their fingertips.
Yeah.
Caller, thank you for sharing that.
Thank you.
Amy, I'm sure you agree. It's probably a common theme.
It's so common.
That moms experience. So,
well, and that's,
you're not alone.
Ovulation disorders are the number one cause of fertility challenges, and polycystic is the number one cause of ovulation disorders. So it's much more common than you realize. And that's why my protocol is really geared at managing blood sugar, because it can lead to polycystic, you know, and then there's some girls who are kind of polycystic, you know, they're on the verge of it type of thing. So, I would really just encourage, you just can't go along without food. And as much as you think if you're trying to lose weight, you want to eat less, that's really not the case here. You really need to just bulk up on protein, fat, veggies, and cut the grains. And it really will help regulate that blood sugar and get your weight to drop and get you to ovulate.
Thank you so much, Amy. Callers, thank you. We have awesome questions typed in. Thank you, thank you. Thank you all for joining us. Amy, a huge thank you, as always. I will send everyone Amy's link to her book, to her website, with some of these awesome articles that she's written. You're just awesome, Amy. And good luck for the baby.
Thank you so much, and thank you. I love working with you guys, so I really appreciate the opportunity. And best of luck to all the callers. Thank you so much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Don't give up hope, please.
don't give up. That's right. Thank you. And again, huge thank you to Lolita. Awesome Calendula Baby Care Products. I will send you the link to their website as well. And again, best of luck to all our listeners, and good luck on your journeys. Okay, everyone. Bye. Thank you again, Amy.
Thank you.